Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. Your hosts for today are Susan Franzen, Gina McAndrews, and Paul Wearson. Welcome.
Well, Paul, this is just like old times, right?
It certainly is. We're just emerging from the sub-zero cold we've lived with for now, I don't know how many days, but when you're in a farmhouse that's built way back in the early 20th century, it's not always as well insulated as modern homes. So I've been living in the lower 60 degree range with a space heater, and I was able to put up all my supplies and get ready for this, and didn't start my car for about 3 or 4 days. So it kind of reminds me of Bret Hart's old short story of the outcasts of Poker Flat, you know, when everyone's trapped in a cabin in the snow. And it's been kind of interesting. I've been reading books, watching DVDs, and of course, there was plenty of entertainment out of Washington. So we got to watch the complete hearings, the impeachment hearings, and all the sideshows of Washington, D.C. to entertain us out here. So I haven't really been bored, but I have some symptoms of cabin fever. And today, I think we're going to finally emerge from that. And of course, on into the weekend, we're going to have normal temperatures, into the teens anyway, which by comparison is a heat wave. You know, we've been below zero so much. And of course, it is kind of tragic to watch what's happening in Oklahoma and Texas, where everybody is dealing with temperatures and issues that they never have contemplated. Below zero weather and heavy snow, and I was just listening to public radio early this morning, and I felt very sorry for this cattle rancher. He was trying to keep cattle alive and watered. He had to chip through ice that was thick on the tank, and of course it's calving season, so we're having a lot of at this time of the year new birth of cattle and calves, and he was talking about how to keep them alive. He brought a little calf into his pickup truck and took him home. And they've had calves in their homes, you know, anything to sustain life. So it's very unseasonable down there and a real hardship. And we've heard, of course, about the millions of people who are without power and the unique situation where Texas is on its own grid. So I don't think they can get power from outside the state, and there's been a lot of lengthy power outages, and that, of course, happened at a time when sub-zero temperatures were outside, and once again, you probably don't have a lot of construction down there where buildings are heavily insulated like they are up here in the north, so it's time to sympathize with the people undergoing things that are much more stressful than even what we have here. So it's an interesting time to be alive, Susan.
Yes, it's an interesting time when you don't have to drive through the snow or the slippery weather or get your car started. You can just zoom in. And that has its own problems, but everybody's in the Zoom studio right now that's supposed to be. And so I think we can do some welcomes. Welcome to Gina, my co-host. And normally, Paul, you were looking forward to interviewing Leanne Harder for her monthly Story County Report, but she said, no, there's too much news going on. I'm going to send Linda Merkin from the Board of Supervisors to talk about a couple of important things that the board has been dealing with. Hi, Linda.
Susan, good morning. And sorry I was a little bit late. I was having a little bit of trouble getting connected this morning.
Yes, well, it's so better than digging out of a snowdrift.
For sure. For sure. Good to see you all.
Good to see you, Linda.
So what would you like me to talk about?
Well, I think the first one is the mask ordinance.
Certainly. We all know that.
I take several of the local papers, and front page above the fold in the Nevada Journal says, county leaders, follow the mask mandate. And so yes. You're here to tell us how that decision was reached. It wasn't too difficult, I don't think, but tell us what's why you decided to just ignore the governor's removing the mask mandate.
Well, our county board of health several months ago requested of the supervisors that we adopt a regulation that they were proposing to have a face covering mandate in Story County. And they gave us really good reasons, and we agreed with that. And that was at the same time, you know, shortly after that, the governor did impose a mandate. City of Ames also has a mandate. And quite frankly, everything we have been looking at and reading, just we think that the governor's lifting the face covering restriction for the state of Iowa is premature. Granted, we have vaccines rolling out, but we all know, we've heard that it's probably going to be till June before they're widely available. That 1B group that's being vaccinated right now is a huge group because it includes everybody 65 and over, as well as, you know, teachers, just tons of people. And if you go on McFarland Clinic's website, you will see where they are, because they're making calls, as is Story Medical and other clinics, to let their patients know when they're eligible for the mask. But when you look at the graphic on the McFarland Clinic, you'll see they're in the they're doing it by age, and they're in the higher 80s, I think, right now, in age range right now, or maybe getting lower. But it's going to be quite a while before we all get vaccinated, before we have herd immunity. We all have heard about viruses, word escapes me, I haven't had enough coffee yet, the mutations that are going on right now, and we've seen them in Iowa. We need to keep vigilant right now. And I'm just going to read something really quickly that I read this morning when I was looking at the Times. Here's what I read this morning, and it's in the Times, in an article by the Biden's COVID advisors. When we see a small rise in cases, that's a big red flag. It's the tremor before the earthquake. As we've seen over and over, 4 weeks after small increases in cases, there's an exponential rise in cases to hundreds of thousands, followed in a few weeks by thousands of deaths per day. When COVID-19 rates begin to creep up, the surge is inevitable and imminent unless we take decisive action. Waiting until the spike occurs is thousands of deaths too late. We can continue, as we have been doing for months, to take decisive action to keep the rate low. And as Dr. Fauci has said, it's really important right now, because if we keep the cases low, the virus has less chances of mutating. So the virus isn't done with us. We still got to be vigilant. And that's what we believe in Story County. The city of Ames believes that. We still have mask mandates. So we are encouraging everybody to continue to wear face coverings, to continue to social distance, and stay away from crowds. It's more important than ever. So thank you.
Thank you. And we'll probably be talking about that some more. I got some background from other places in Iowa that we can talk about later. But you have another very important announcement to make, I believe.
Oh, I have several. But there's one that came up yesterday afternoon that I was really surprised at. Last year, the supervisors worked, a woman from Iowa State had sent to the Bureau of Geographic Names, which is the U.S. Bureau of Geographic Names, a proposal to rename what we have known as Squaw Creek, which is an offensive term to many. And it came to the Story County Board of Supervisors, came to some other boards of supervisors, and came to the Ames City Council. And we requested that the creek be renamed to be Iowa Creek to honor the Native Americans, the first, after the prehistoric people who lived here, the first tribe that is really known to have lived in this area. I got a call from a Tribune reporter yesterday afternoon, just as I was getting ready to leave the office, and she said she had just been notified that the creek is renamed, and it is now Iowa Creek, I-O-W-A-Y, which is the traditional name of the Indians who lived here, the Native Americans who lived here. I've checked it out a couple different ways, and it's happened. So that is something that I honestly had kind of given up hope on, because it had been over a year ago. When we investigated that, I got hold of the state archaeologist's office and was given a name of the tribal a list of tribal historic preservation officers throughout the Midwest. We contacted all of those that we had emails, and I think we even phoned some people, and everybody was for renaming the creek. So I'm really, really glad that this happened. I want to thank Jasmine Martin, who is the woman who originally put in the request. If she had not done that, we wouldn't have pursued it. So thank you to her, and thank you to everybody who supported it. And sometime this spring, we'll have to figure out a celebration.
Well, that's a breaking news kind of announcement.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's in the Tribune.
Leanne always sends me the announcements that she's going to make, and they usually run for several pages. So are you going to let us know what the top ones are?
Yes, I am. And I want to credit Leanne. She's the person that contacts all the elected officials and department heads every week, and when she's going to be on KHOI, and says, let us know what you need to have the public know and want to have the public know. And some of this is really about the continuing response to the pandemic and how we're providing services at the county. I think people may know we have some software, appointment software right now called No Wait Inside. And you can get, you can access that by going to our website, storycountyiowa.gov. And there's a big, right on the homepage, there's a big place to click to get an appointment. And it's particularly important for the treasurer's and recorder's offices, because those are the offices where we have the most walk-in traffic. And that's where we want to make sure to social distance. So we are asking people to do all of their business with the county that they can remotely. And if they can't, use the No Wait Inside appointment software and make an appointment so we don't have lines. And that's particularly important because we've got property tax season coming up. In March, property taxes are due. A lot of people just like to go to Nevada, to the treasurer's office, and to pay their property taxes. We really hope you don't do that. We are able to take property taxes online. You can send an e-check via your bank. You can send a regular check. You can drop it off in our drop box outside. So please, you know, if you'd like a receipt, send a self-addressed stamped envelope, and they'll get a receipt back to you. So we're just asking your patience with this one more property tax season, your cooperation of not coming to our building and standing in line next to people and possibly getting infected or infecting somebody. Another thing that's coming up is we have a proposed tanning ordinance for Story County. You can also find that on the website. And in fact, at 3:00 this afternoon, there is via Zoom a stakeholders meeting on this. And what we're doing is proposing that commercial tanning not be allowed for people under the age of 18 by minors. This is recommended by the American Pediatric Association, by the way, and our Board of Health is recommending that. I'm going to read the link to this a couple times, okay? And it's at 3:00 today. It's at storycountyiowa.gov/1523/capital-P-proposed-capital-T-tanning-capital-O-ordinance. Again, storycountyiowa.gov, that's our website, and you can go to Environmental Health and find this, but again, it's storycountyiowa.gov/1523/proposed-tanning-ordinance. So if anybody wants to make comment on that, they should Zoom in at 3:00 today. I'm also got a couple other announcements. We still have free radon kits available. Contact Story County Environmental Health. Their phone number is 515-382-7240. And you can also go to the website and go to Environmental Health, and you can email them from there. Oh, my cat will like this. It's Fabulous Feline February. So I don't know where my cat is right now. She's usually here when I Zoom, but that means cat adoptions are $10 with approved applications during the month of February. And you can go to Facebook at Story County Animal Shelter, or again, visit the website at storycountyiowa.gov. For those of you who are interested in serving on a board or commission, we do have an opening on Asset right now for a volunteer to represent the county. Asset is the analysis of social services evaluation team, and that helps determine public funding for human services programs. I really think it's important to get volunteers on this. A lot of the work that the county does is actually done by volunteers on boards and commissions. Also, for those of you who think you might run for elective office someday, serving on a board or commission is a great way to learn more about local government and also to hone your skills. Veterans Affairs, moving on to Veterans Affairs. The mobile medical unit for the VA of Central Iowa Healthcare System will be at 126 South Kellogg, which is our human services building in Ames, April 30th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., and I'm sure we'll be sending many more announcements about that. The next one will be Friday, August 6th. So if you want to schedule an appointment for the mobile medical unit, call 515-699-5999, extension 21501. I'm going to repeat that again. 515-699-5991, extension 21501. And I'm sure that's on the Veterans Affairs page on the website as well. We have a public comment period underway for our capital improvements plan for next year. Well, it's actually 22 fiscal years 2022 through 2026. Again, go to storycountyiowa.gov. There's a tab called Government. Then you go to Offices and Departments, Board of Supervisors, Capital Improvements Plan. We also have a draft available of our housing study. And again, that's on the website. And the one other thing that is not on here that I want to tell people about is Story County is one of 11 counties that has opted into a study of rural broadband issues that is being done by through the Greater Des Moines Partnership. We have about 4 county employees and a couple other people who are on a steering committee. One of the really important things about this is getting feedback from Story County residents. They're right now putting together a survey that they want as many people as possible or Story County residents to participate in. So it should come out in the next couple weeks, and we will let you at KHOI know about it. It will be available on our website. We'll put it out on social media, and I'm sure there are some other ways that we're going to publicize this, too, with news releases. So if you have concerns about broadband, and I know we've heard at the Board of Supervisors from a lot of people out in the rural areas that their speed isn't up to today's demands, particularly with telework and virtual schooling that has been going on. So we really want to hear from people. There are broadband mapping things that are done at the state level. However, what I have heard is it's by census block, and if a service provider is in that census block, has some customers, they consider that census block served, but the entire census block may not be served. You know, either there may not be fiber, or if it's a satellite service that's available, line of sight just doesn't work for certain locations. So we know there are problems out there, and we want to make sure that as many Story County residents as possible participate in this survey. So it's the Rural Broadband Study, and you'll be hearing more about it. And also, if you want to be notified on Story County happenings, remember to go to the website and go to the Notify Me feature, and you can sign up for getting agendas for various things and various notices. I think I've got it.
I think you did a great job, but do tell Leanne that we miss her.
I will do that, and she will be back. We just thought she should get a break. Do you have any questions?
Paul?
Oh, no. I've been infatuated listening to all the announcements Linda made. I think that always there's a lot of exciting things happening in the county, a lot of opportunity. By the way, Linda, this is Paul Wearson. I'm a third host today on the show, and it's really delightful to have you on. And the tanning issue, how did that come to fore?
It was proposed by the Board of Health.
That's great, because you know, tanning is something that we know a lot more about now with all the skin problems we discovered with cancer, and so it sort of indicts the idea that you should tan as a recreational thing or cosmetic thing. And particularly, I think the research shows that people who had serious sunburns when they were young are really people who are susceptible later in life to cancer to the skin. So I think that's a very good ordinance and science-based, and I hope there's not much opposition to that, because it makes good sense.
Well, Dr. Passion, who's the chair of the Board of Health, distributed to us a short article from the American Pediatric Association, and it basically came to a very simple conclusion. There's no safe tanning for people under 18, that it just should not be allowed. So.
No, I agree.
Well, actually, this is a real throwback. I grew up in a time when there was no artificial tanning, but those of us who weren't working in the summertime, and of course, one job that you got a beautiful tan was to be a lifeguard, and lifeguards there was no limit on lifeguards. I guess they sometimes wore hats, but they certainly were completely ready to jump in the water. Even then, I guess I've known people then who grew up and got old and had skin cancers. It works even with a natural product.
That's right. We all need vitamin E. And it's good to get outside, but at the same time, when we do, we need to protect ourselves.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Paul, Gina, Susan, good to see you all. Okay. You have a good week. Stay warm. We're getting there.
Thank you so much, Linda.
Yep. You betcha.
Yeah, thank you, Linda.
Thanks, Paul.
Have a good week.
Okay. You too.
Stay warm. Thanks for all your work.
Well, thank you for your work.
I have a little information about masking. I got a document from Ann Ginsel from the Public Health Defense Fund position paper, and it's a very thick document, but it has a very, very startling conclusion. Two, at the very end, CDC director on face masks. Now, this admittedly was from September of 2020, before we had a vaccine. Face coverings are, quote, the most powerful public tool the nation has against the coronavirus, and might even provide better protection against it than a vaccine, the head of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention told lawmakers on Wednesday. So it's really necessary, even if you have a vaccine, continue to wear a face mask. I think we can move on. So we have a little music to sort of get us in the mood for the NAACP Freedom Fund.
Your heart is raging. Listen, listen, listen. Listen, listen to the echoes of martyrs praying. Listen, listen, listen. Listen, Brothers and sisters, listen, listen, listen. I swear we'll never find a way to where we're going. All alone, don't take your eyes off the road. Can you hear the bells ring out? Speak now. Can you hear the angels sing low? Speak now. Speak now. Listen, listen to the message of hope and the whispers of ghosts. Listen, listen. Listen. For the children will grow on the seeds that we sow. They listen, they listen. Oh, listen. Brothers and sisters, listen, listen. I swear we'll never find a way to where we're going. All alone, don't take it right.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio with co-hosts Gina McAndrews and Paul Wearson. I'm Susan Franzen. The song you just heard was Leslie Odom Jr.'s Speak Now, a song nominated for an Academy Award from the Oscar-nominated film One Night in Miami. I thought that success was a perfect introduction to the Ames NAACP's 20th annual Freedom Fund event. And we have the chair of this year's event committee, Vanessa Baker Latimer, with us today to tell us what's coming up tomorrow, February 18th. And it's you still can get reservations up to the time, 6:30 tomorrow evening. So listen carefully and find out how to get your tickets, because it's virtual and you can get them whenever you sign in.
I'm Vanessa Baker Latimer. I'm chair of the 2021 Ames branch of the NAACP annual Freedom Fund event.
And what will that be this year?
Well, because of the pandemic, this will be our first virtual event. So we'll be streaming it live through both Facebook and YouTube, and so we're excited about that and nervous at the same time. We know that trying to do everything virtually has not run as smooth sometimes as you can do it in person, but we wanted to make sure that for this year's event and the message that we want to continue to bring to the community and educate the community about, that we continue it, so virtual was the best option.
So the most important part of the event then will be the keynote speaker, or is there other business that you'll be taking care of?
Well, we're certainly trying to make the event exciting, and one part of the event, we're having kind of our social time between 6:30 and 7. The event is going to be Thursday, February the 18th, starting at 6:30 p.m. And we're also going to feature some high school students. We like to always showcase our students' talents, skills, and abilities, especially those students of color. And so they'll be doing a performance during that 6:30 to 7:30 time, and then the program begins at 7, and we'll have some welcomes from the mayor of the city of Ames, from Dr. Winterstein from Iowa State University, and from Betty Andrews, who's the president of the Iowa-Nebraska chapters of the NAACP. Then we'll have some entertainment as well, and then the introduction of our keynote speaker, who is this year is Kimba Smith Prada. And she is a fantastic speaker. Her story is very touching, and it hits on our mission to continue to talk about social and criminal justice that's happening in our country and in our communities. And so she's going to share her story of sentencing injustice that put her in prison unjustly, and she was pardoned by President Clinton. And just the things that can happen to young women of color, or any student, any person of color, as a freshman in college, and what her journey was to educate, to be more proactive than reactive when it comes to things that can happen to our children when they enter college or any other area of going to school or work or any type of pressure and domestic violence, and her story about that. And it's just heartwarming to hear and to know that that her journey helps us reach back. She's reaching back to other women that has been victims of this situation that she was in, and also created a foundation to help women in the future.
Well, that sounds very impressive. Is perhaps a book by her that we could read, or is there something else that we, any other resources that people might not be good to know about?
Well, she has a foundation website that you can also look at, and her website is KimbaSmithFoundation.org. And yes, she does have a book out called Poster Child, The Kimba Smith Story. And what's exciting about her story is that it's also being proposed as being produced as a movie for television as well, that I've been told. But yes, if you go to her foundation page, you can see all the things that she is trying to do to educate the country about women, drug abuse, violence, teenage pregnancy, all of those things about her life experiences. And then her story, the book, The Poster Child, which we will have, can make that available for people who want a copy of it.
Well, that sounds like a very, very interesting evening. Is there anything else about that that you would like to mention that I haven't asked about?
Well, we're again hoping that we can continue having the excitement of bringing educating our community around just justice and health issues and voting rights and leadership regarding people of color, and that we want to partner and collaborate and continue to get that message out there. And her story is one of the things that we want to really delve into deeply about what's occurring on with those things in Iowa. So after this event, we're also going to be working on a town hall series regarding social justices and sentencing of people of color that's happening in Iowa. What does that look like? You know, if we have the same offense for drugs, how come women of color gets a harsher sentence than those of not of color, and to look at what those barriers are, and look at our get feedback from our legislators, our judges, our judicial system on why is there an unfairness in those types of sentences, and the way to educate ourselves to look at what's happening here in Iowa in our community, on how we can understand how we can make it fair for everyone. People want to get more information about the event, they can go to our website at www.NAACPAmesIowa.com, and that's Iowa spelled out. So it's NAACPAmesIowa.com, and they will get information about if they're interested in participating, how they can register, and so forth. And again, the event is Thursday, February the 18th.
And you say it's on Facebook. Do people have to be registered in order to get into your Facebook page, or how does
that is
work?
Correct. It'll be a private viewing through Facebook and YouTube, and you would have to have registered to be able to get a link to the private showing.
I guess when you register, then they'll tell you what the name of the Facebook page is.
Well, once you register, then you will get a link the day of the event to be able to view it. Choose whether you want Facebook or YouTube.
Well, thank you so much, Vanessa, for giving us all that information. And I would like to just briefly add that when I went online to reserve my tickets, I had a little trouble and I had to call Vanessa back and have her walk me through it. So I'm going to give a little of that information to any others who might be challenged, anyhow, with technologically challenged. When you do exactly as Vanessa said and type in NAACPAmesIowa.com, you will come to something that looks like a poster with Speaker Kemba Smith Prada on the left and the NAACP Game Changers virtual event on the right. Directly below the poster is a small blue oval marked Registration is Now Open. If you click on that, you'll look down and see a list of sponsorships, all marked 6:30 February 18th. So you can sign up for a diamond sponsorship for $5,000, or next down is an emerald sponsorship, and so forth, down till you get to six. All of those are sponsorships. And at six, there is patron admission at the very list, bottom of this list, which is a simple admission, and that's what you're looking for. And when you click that, you'll get them. They'll ask you for your information so they can send you the link to the event. And after hearing what Vanessa had to say, well, you will probably think about going to it. And I think that you probably can socialize a little bit during the social hour at 6:30. It looks like it. So we're just wondering, well, let's see what's next. Gina?
Before we leave the NAACP, there was an article in Tuesday's New York Times about the lawsuit they're bringing against Trump and Giuliani on behalf of the Representative Benny Thompson, who's a Democrat from Mississippi. And it's over the violation of the Ku Klux Klan Act, an 1871 statute that includes protections against violent conspiracies that interfered with Congress's constitutional duties. I guess the suit also names the Proud Boys, the far-right nationalist group, and the Oath Keepers militia group. The legal actions accuses Mr. Trump, Mr. Giuliani, and the two groups of conspiring to incite a violent riot at the Capitol with the goal of preventing Congress from certifying the election.
I saw that too, and it struck me as appropriate for the NAACP to bring such a suit. Actually, it's the NAACP Legal Defense Fund to bring such a suit because they got their start, the NAACP, back in 1909 to fight lynching and the Ku Klux Klan. It will be interesting to see where this goes. After all, Mitch McConnell made a point to say that he didn't think Congress had the right to try Trump, but he invited civil suits. I wonder if that will be a topic of conversation during the social hour at Thursday's NAACP Freedom Fund event.
Yes, that will be interesting to see. Meanwhile, this is KHOI Community Radio, and we have been speaking with Vanessa Baker Latimer about the NAACP Freedom Fund event that's occurring this Thursday evening, and some other national news involving the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. At the beginning of the show, we talked about safety precautions against COVID-19 with Linda Merkin. Ursula Rudenberg is joining us to mourn a friend, colleague, and songwriter at Pacifico Radio, Ann Feeney. Let's play one of her songs. It's called Look to the Left.
Looking for a place in the audio wasteland where music comes straight from the heart. MTV didn't make it for me. Worlds apart from that top 40 chart, fed up with flash pots and lasers, lip-syncing losers only LA could find. I was resigned to go back to my vinyl. I was bereft, then I looked to the left. Oh, look to the left of your dial.
With her great anthem to non-commercial radio, Look to the Left. Thank you, Anne. This is Ursula Rudenberg, and I was shocked and deeply saddened to hear of this musician's death. Anne was, in some ways, a lesser-known singer, but fiercely loved and appreciated by those who did know her. And I wanted to make sure her passing does not go unnoticed, so I'd like to read a few excerpts from an obituary for her, which was published in the New York Times. This was written by Clay Risen, who is doing a series about people who have died in the coronavirus pandemic. Anne Feeney, a fierce and tireless folk musician who played more than 4,000 concerts over a 30-year career, appearing at peace protests, picket lines, and fundraisers for progressive causes, died on February 3rd in Pittsburgh. She was 69 and carried a business card that read, Performer, Producer, Hellraiser. Her daughter said the cause was COVID-19. Miss Feeney, whose first public appearance came in 1969 at a demonstration against the Vietnam War, served as a link between the protest singers of the 1960s and the younger generations that emerged through the anti-globalization and anti-war movements of the early 2000s. She was joyous and fiery in her determination to use her music to elevate those who are most marginalized and to move towards greater justice in the land, said Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary in a statement released after Miss Feeney's death. She bought her first, and for 40 years, her only guitar, a Martin D-28, in 1967, and soon became a common sight at protests around Pittsburgh. In 1972, she attended the annual Conference on Women and the Law, the beginning of a lifetime of activism around women's issues. She later organized public support for a rape crisis center in Pittsburgh and served on the board of the Pennsylvania Charter of the National Organization for Women. Ms. Feeney graduated from the University of Pittsburgh in 1974 and from its law school in 1978, after which she spent more than a decade working as a trial lawyer, taking mostly domestic violence cases. In the late 1980s, she stopped practicing law and in 1992 released her first album, Look to the Left. 11 more followed. The granddaughter of an immigrant from Ireland who organized mine workers, Miss Feeney also knew hundreds of Irish ballads, drinking tunes, and rebel songs. Every summer, she chartered a bus and traveled around Ireland, taking fans to her favorite sites and performing wherever they stopped for the night. But her first love remained the union movement, and her favorite concert locale was the picket line, often driving hours out of her way on tour if she heard word of a labor action. Evan Greer, a musician and longtime touring companion, said, "She used her music as a weapon." So thank you, Anne, and thank you for your tribute to Noncommercial Radio. And on a final, happier note that is somewhat befitting at this time after such a Noncommercial Radio anthem, I am very happy to report as the KHOI station manager that KHOI has just received word that its license has been renewed by the Federal Communications Commission. Yay! Renewal must be applied for every 8 years. So keep looking to the left to the dial at 89.1. We'll be there. This is Ursula Rudenberg saying thanks for listening.
Listening to Local Talk here on KHOI Community Radio. And your hosts for today have been Susan Franzen, Paul Wearson, and me, Gina McAndrews. Other voices you heard were Linda Merkin, Vanessa Baker-Latimer, and Ursula Rudenberg. Remember that you can also hear the show and other local talk shows online at khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. And you can also find links to today's guests and the information you heard during the program on our website. Today's local talk will be rebroadcast at 7 p.m. KHOI is a community, nonprofit, nonpartisan media. KHOI provides a platform for citizen and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI.
Local Talk was engineered and kept going by Michael Murphy through all challenges today. Our theme song, Backtracking, is by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Leslie Odom Jr.'s Speak Now from the movie One Night in Hollywood and Look to the Left by Ann Feeney.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or contact us through our website at khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know to contact us if you decide to become a member or renew your membership today. Just hit the yellow button, donate, become a member button. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as a listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.